From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Most American cities celebrate LGBTQ Pride in June to commemorate the Stonewall Riots. In 1969, violent demonstrations broke out after police raided the Stonewall Inn, a queer bar in New York's Greenwich Village. Pride commemorates the birth of the gay liberation movement and the activists who followed. Here's writer and trans activist Janet Mock on Stonewall's enduring legacy.
It's about resistance. It's about saying that we deserve to take up space wherever we want, as how we want to present ourselves, as who we want to love, and how we want to be.
Atlanta and Savannah both celebrate Pride in October. That's National LGBT History Month. It's time for the queer community to express its pride and its importance in and for Georgia. Joining me in the studio is Jamie Ferguson. She's executive director of the Atlanta Pride Committee. And Jamie, welcome.
Good morning.
And also with us, Dusty Church. He's festival director for Savannah Pride. Hello, Dusty.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And thank you both for being here on what is a very busy weekend for both of you. The Georgia Gay Liberation Front led one of the first Pride marches in Atlanta. That was in 1971. I'd like to ask you both, what is your most powerful or resonant memory of Pride? I'm going to ask you, Jamie, since you're right here.
Sure. I think that my most resonant memory of Pride has to be my first Pride, which was in 2001. I was in the middle of a fairly difficult coming out process and had moved from a small town in Georgia to Atlanta in June, right before Pride. And I had really never known a community of out queer people, and certainly didn't know that there was this vibrant, thriving, happy community that I could be a part of. And it changed my life in a lot of ways, because I realized that a lot of the narratives that I had grown up with didn't have to be true, and that I could have a really amazing life as an out person.
And you stayed.
I did. I've never left.
All right. And how about you, Dusty? What's your memory?
Yeah, I think it is that first time at Pride. There's something just incredibly special about that moment. For me, I think I was 19 or 20 years old, living at home, going to college, and still sneaking away to be with the boyfriend nobody knew I had. And I went to Long Beach Pride. I grew up in Southern California. And being able to hold his hand and walk around in that space for the first time, feeling completely safe in who I was and feeling really proud about who I was honestly life-changing and truly made me want to continue living. You know, when you're still in that closet, it is a hard thing to go through. And for me, Pride was a step towards starting to live.
So those were the Pride parades. How about life in Atlanta and Savannah, respectively? How different to where you grew up for you, Jamie?
Atlanta's very different. I grew up in Rome, Georgia, and Atlanta's very different in a lot of ways from Rome. I didn't experience a lot of really visible homophobia growing up, but there were also not any out queer people that I knew. There were subtexts from, you know, the church and other just society. And in Atlanta, I think that still exists quite a bit in certain circles, but we do have safe havens and spaces to gather and pockets of, you know, really vibrant LGBTQ life. We have bars and spaces to gather, and that doesn't really exist in most small towns in Georgia.
Yeah, and you moved, as you said, to Atlanta in the early 2000s. What do these larger Pride celebrations like those in Atlanta and Savannah mean for folks who don't have celebrations in their small towns?
Well, for a lot of people who come to Atlanta Pride, they're from small towns. So Atlanta Pride is a destination for a lot of people. We're the largest Pride in the South. And about a third of our people come from out of state, and about a third of people come from Georgia, but not Atlanta. So you get a lot of people who are experiencing a space that they don't get year round. This is the one weekend of the year where they can come and they can be out and they can meet people like them. They can, you know, buy a lesbian themed t-shirt, you know, which doesn't exist in their hometown. And so, you know, it's really a destination for a lot of people, and it can be really happy and exciting. It can also be really emotional, because people can sometimes realize what they're missing, or the difference can just be so stark. But, You know, I think that we experience the whole gamut of emotions during a Pride weekend, most of us.
Well, and Pride has certainly expanded. I mean, major cities like San Francisco, New York have been celebrating for a long time. Smaller cities, Montgomery, Tuscaloosa. I noticed that this year, a number of really small cities in the Bible Belt, Auburn, Opelika, Winchester, Virginia, Starkville, Mississippi. What does that shift mean for Pride? Dusty, I'm going to ask you, just because you're in not a small city, but, you know, a little more, you're surrounded by a lot more rural area.
Yeah, we're a small-ish city, 140,000 people or so. So, we're certainly bigger than a lot of the towns in rural Georgia. But, I think it's been really interesting to watch. You're right. There's so many new prides. And with next year being the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, what an incredible thing to see the sort of rebirth and reimagining of prides. And for us as a smaller pride, and I know for a lot of prides, it's this process of figuring out what pride means for our community. And, as we're, again, hitting that 50th anniversary point and knowing how much left there is to accomplish, the rebirth of activism and pride is a really fascinating and wonderful thing to see.
Well, Jamie mentioned a lot of people from out of town. For you in Savannah, how many people do you estimate are from out of town?
We have almost 50% of our attendees are from out of town. And it's really interesting, Atlanta, as Jamie was saying, gets so many folks who come in from smaller cities looking for that big city gay experience. We actually get a lot of travelers from Chicago and New York and Atlanta and bigger markets that are looking to experience maybe not the really small pride, but what a sort of more quaint, smaller pride experience is like. We are very different. We're very unique. We'll never be Atlanta. We don't try to be Atlanta. They're a much larger market and can do things that we can't, but we try to stick to what Savannah is. And I think people really appreciate that. So it's interesting for us too, because we have a lot of out-of-towners who come in. And they're just looking for something a little bit different.
Right. It's almost Savannah, of course, almost a prototypical, graceful, southern, beautiful town with colonial
right.
history. It's interesting to think of it, though, you know, the way that Pride began. Now it's kind of a destination tourism to come to Pride. Does that feel at all, like mixing the message for either of you?
So I think that our job as Pride organizers is to hold a lot of spaces at once. We certainly at Atlanta Pride and a number of other Pride celebrations, really hold on to that original activist spirit. We do a lot of activist work, a lot of social justice work. Atlanta Pride Committee is a year-round organization, and we do 60 programs a year outside of the festival, many of which are focused on social justice. We highlight social justice causes with our grand marshals. One of our honorary grand marshals is actually the organizers of Starkville Pride this year. We do a lot of programming and education, but I also think that it is revolutionary to have a space where we can be ourselves and be celebratory and take up that space, like Janet Mock was talking about. You know, the Stonewall Inn was a bar. It was a safe place. It was a place where people were coming to gather, and we deserve those spaces too. And so I think that it's not contradictory to say that we can have a celebration and an activist event at the same time. You know, certainly when you look at like the trans march that we have, that's a huge activist event. It's the biggest trans march anywhere in the South and possibly on the East Coast. And we still have a lot of protesters. We deal with all of that. We just deal with it all at the same time.
That's Jamie Ferguson. She's with Atlanta Pride. Also on the line with me is Dusty Church with Savannah Pride. Out of the bars and onto the streets. That was a long time the slogan of Pride celebrated across Georgia this weekend. I want to pick up on that for just a second, though, Jamie. You mentioned the Starkville, Mississippi organizers. This is a tiny town. 25,000, that's not tiny town, threw its inaugural Pride parade back in March, but drew a lot of national attention because the city's aldermen initially voted to oppose it. Is that still happening in a lot of these small towns?
Absolutely. There are towns in Georgia that have been denied permits for Pride. In Atlanta, we have worked for a long time to build a relationship with the city where we can get permits and we can have the event that we have. The early Atlanta Prides were denied permits, and it hasn't always been an easy road in our 48 years of events. But it definitely happens in small places, and I think there are places where people don't even bother to apply for permits because they know they wouldn't get them, and have their celebrations on private property or in bars as well. You know, the history of bars in the community is complicated. Bars for a long time were the only safe spaces we had. It wasn't that everybody wanted to be in a bar. It's that you couldn't go anywhere else and be out. And so we struggle with that, to honor the history of bars, but also to bring those safe spaces into other places where, you know, children and families or people who for one reason or another don't want to be, you know, in a bar space can have a space. So it's a complicated history, but an important one.
How about for you, Dusty? I mean, Pride rooted in 60s political activism, but people argue that they've moved away from their political origin and identity. How do you see these Pride celebrations embracing or ignoring that history?
You know, I think it's a bit complicated because you're right that certainly much of Pride is turned into a celebration of our accomplishments, and there is so much to celebrate over the last 50 years and what the advancements in our community have shown. But at the same time, there really is still live, ongoing activism that's incredibly powerful to watch and see the results. For our organization, just like with Jamie, we host a number of different educational workshops and panel discussions with whether it be trans issues or HIV issues or being out in the workplace or all sorts of opportunities for folks to learn about things that are important to them, but also meet and greets with politicians and candidates for office. We work a lot with our city. You talked about the issue of sort of destination pride tourism, and if that conflicts with activism, we sort of view it the complete opposite, that it is part of activism for us. What we've watched in the last couple of years as we've really turned our vision towards becoming more of a destination for travelers for Pride is the ability to shift our city's focus. And now our destination marketing organization, Visit Savannah, wonderful to their credit. I mean, they have been so incredibly supportive of us, actually has an African-American lesbian couple in their general marketing for our city. And that's not something that would have happened if not for Pride.
Well, the LGBTQ community contains a huge section of people, different abilities, ethnicities, gender identities. And you mentioned, Jamie, you know, holding that space, containing a lot of different types. So, but how do you create a festival that does make room for all? It's become a lot more complicated, hasn't it, than just saying everybody's welcome?
It's tricky. So we do that sort of in a two-pronged approach. One, we work really hard to build an event where everyone is welcome at everything. You know, we work with our security teams, with our entertainment teams, with our logistics teams to make sure that everyone understands our values of diversity and inclusion. We also do a lot of targeted programming. We have a huge family and children space now because it was needed. We have a gray pride space where we work with AARP to have a space for elders. We have a trans march. We have a dyke march. We have events for young genderqueer people. You know, we have some programming that is focused around the trans community on our stages. We have disability access services. And so we try to do both, to make the big umbrella welcoming, but also provide specific programming for individual communities, knowing that everybody's not looking for the same thing. And we also have really honest conversations. We've been doing a lot of work around racial justice and immigration justice in the community, and looking at ourselves and saying, where do we need to do better? Where are we doing well? And how do we make ourselves into the organization that we want to be?
Well, in the next segment, we're going to be hearing about a project, an oral history project of a Black LGBTQ community here in Atlanta. But this is something that Black and brown queer activists have complained about, you know, a sense of erasure. And Atlanta holds Black Pride at the end of August, so a separate celebration of Pride. How is that just fine? I mean, is there any desire to bring that all together? Yeah. Or is it, you know, just fine with you that everybody keeps the celebration that they want?
So I love Black Pride as an event and an organization. I do want to say that Atlanta Pride is actually really diverse. We have a lot of people of color on our board. About 40% of our attendees identify as people of color. So the event is really diverse it doesn't always look that way. We have great relationships with In the Life Atlanta, who's the organization who is the umbrella organization of Atlanta Black Pride. We've been a financial supporter for years. And the first Atlanta Black Pride was actually an event put together by members of the Atlanta Pride Board. And now they've taken it and made something great on their own. And so I think it's great to have those spaces. Our space needs to be welcoming to everyone, but not everyone has the same needs. And so I support, you know, Black LGBTQ and same gender loving people having their own safe space where they don't have to deal with the racism that exists in broader communities.
Dusty, just less than a minute left. Sorry to leave you with this. It's a big question. How about you and Savannah? How are you working to bridge those gaps or embrace them?
Yeah, you know, it is a tough position to be in because I fully agree with Jamie that I support communities of color wanting to celebrate the unique experience that they have as queer people of color. And there's nothing wrong with that. We hope as a pride organization that if there is something lacking, if we're not doing something that is effectively celebrating and welcoming individuals of color, of religious minorities, gender, you know, whatever experiences people see or feel, we want them to tell us. And so we created an outreach organization where people can sit down and provide us with the feedback that helps us to better serve all of our community.
Jamie, I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm so sorry, but I hope you have a beautiful Pride weekend, both of you. Thank you so much, Jamie Ferguson from Atlanta Pride and Dusty Church from Savannah. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.